Hi, welcome to Rockle and Russell's YouTube review. Each week we'll be setting each other challenges on YouTube and finding videos for hopefully your entertainment. Hope you enjoy this current episode.
Mark Rockle.
Episode 49 kicking off with Counting Out Loud. Love it.
I turned it on after I did that, yeah. So this is episode 49, and yeah, we're just planning 50, like just literally just then. Have you got any ideas? What were you saying?
We could 50, so we could just take it in turns to try and hit a bullseye.
Yeah, that is us all over, a clip that is not visual.
Shit flights on them.
I've got proper James Richardson vibes.
Oh, yes.
So I got the pink La Gazzetta Sportiva. The Corriere della Sport I was looking for, but I don't know if I've just made that up in my head.
Yeah, you held that right as well, didn't you?
Like, yeah. Up there. Go Lacho. Yeah, so how you been, mate? All good. And how long has it been? A couple of weeks now?
Yeah, it's long by our standards, I think, even, because there's been breaks and jubilees and holidays and stuff.
This was a longer break than when you were having your carpets done, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah, so I know you've been to Liam Gallagher. How was Liam Gallagher? I want to hear all about it and how good it was, because it looked amazing on the 2 second clips I've seen.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. I don't know if it's good or a bad thing now that if you're going to something like that, that's two nights, you can see the first night before you go to the second night.
I get you, yeah.
Which I have to confess that I did. Like, sometimes people go, oh, I don't want to know anything about it. I just want to turn up. But I don't feel the same way. I like to sort of see things that I know I can then look forward to. So I look at set lists and things.
Yeah.
I look at videos, so I know. Yeah, it was great. It was really good because I've not seen Craig and Dave for a while either. Yeah. I felt like, you know, like that bloke, what's he called? Stuart McFarlane, who does all the kind of Arsenal, their official photographer.
Yeah.
I felt like I was like there in some sort of support for Dave, you know, just with how excited he was and like taking pictures of him. Every time I saw Dave in like a situation that I know he'd like, I was thinking, I'll take a picture of that, you know, like Dave like dancing with all his sort of outfit on, with the stage in the background, with fireworks in the background.
Yeah, imagine Dave fully in his element and Lambert in a quieter version of that.
Yeah, Dave brought 2 bucket hats because he couldn't decide what colour to wear. And kept one in his pocket. I said, "That's all right. I said, just give one to Craig." And then Dave gave one to Craig. And then Craig put it on his head. And then after a minute, Craig went, "Do I have to wear this? I don't want to."
How was Liam Gallagher though? Did he do a lot of his stuff or Oasis stuff? Or
it was 20. I think it was 20 songs.
Oh wow, that's brilliant.
10 Oasis, 5 new album, and then 5 previous solo.
Okay, cool. So it gives you a chance to go to the bar.
I think he was kind of aware that he needed to please the crowd, but then also, I don't know if it's because I've heard them loads of times or not, but I think some of the new songs I do genuinely like, those are the ones that feel like they've sort of been going around in my head afterwards this week.
Oh, that's good.
The new ones.
Chris Moyles was saying that someone went on the first night and he was going to the second night, and said, if you don't leave during Champagne Supernova, you could be stuck there for like 3 hours.
Yeah, I can see that. We obviously had quite a good exit plan in place with Paul on call. So we used the kind of back roads knowledge to kind of get dropped off and picked up from, you know, a country that wasn't too far. But I don't know, by that point, we'd sort of drunk quite a bit. I remember the end, but we walked off as they were kind of lining up to the Champagne Supernova. Was the encore.
Okay, cool.
So he did like 4 or 5 like crowd favorite Oasis songs as the sort of official encore, maybe 4.
Right.
Supersonic and Cigarettes and Alcohol, like that. And then stopped again. You think, oh, that was it this time. But then Champagne Supernova was the final encore. We'd not gone right down the front anyway. So walking towards the back of the venue, getting closer and closer to the exit while Champagne Supernova was on, didn't really make too much of a difference.
Yeah, cool.
Other than just being in a bit of an open space for a bit of a
dance
around. Craig got a burger on the way out, 15 quid.
Fucking hell. But then if it was Craig getting it, that could have been like 4 burgers.
Yeah.
all protein, all part of the plan, the master plan.
Yeah, but it was good, and he was, you know, I like him. We like him, didn't we? We've spoken about him on here quite a bit.
Was there any between song quotes were worth remembering, or was there too much drink by that point?
No, that's the thing. I think the sound overall was, I was pleasantly surprised, because sometimes things like that can be a bit like a bit off when you get there. But the sound for the actual singing and the performance was good. The talking between songs is sometimes difficult to make out.
Yeah.
Because I think with a song, you know the song, you know the tune, you know the lyrics. Cool. So you don't need to hear it that clearly to kind of be on, like, knowing what it is when someone's just talking. So a lot of this he was probably saying between songs, I probably couldn't make out that much.
Mm. I find, I don't know if it's my age, Mark, but then when I watch TV now, I pretty much always have subtitles on.
Oh, right. No, I haven't done that yet. Only when you have to, like if I'm watching something that's requires them. But no, I don't think I put them on. Sometimes when I'm eating Monster Munch, I do.
Yeah, that is a noisy crisp.
Halfway through the day, I was thinking, I wish this bank holiday weekend had been Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday instead of Thursday, Friday. Yeah. So I was already thinking, well, I've got to get up tomorrow. And then it's like back to work on Monday. It would have been nice to have an extra day to get over the Carlsberg, over the warm, flat Carlsberg.
Yeah, how much was a pint?
6.80, I think.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. I think there was a Monk's Walk prom at Nebworth the week before, basically. And they said they can't book it for next year because a massive band are reuniting and playing at Nebworth. And they wouldn't say any more. And then people were saying, oh, it might be Oasis. But I don't think it is going to be Oasis. I think it's more likely to be Oasis reforming.
Massive band.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. But then could it be someone like Radiohead who, you know, I don't even know if they broke up. Do you know what I mean? There you go.
That's the thing. I'm not up to date enough to know who's broken up and who's not. No, I don't think that's going to be Oasis.
So on the other end of the musical spectrum, I went to see Ed Sheeran at the Principality.
Yeah.
And it was a really good show. Like the people who like Ed Sheeran will continue to like him, but people who are in the audience who don't like Ed Sheeran don't think they would have been changed to, like, a massive fan of him. It's just weird seeing a massive, I think there's like, it's a Principality Stadium, so it must have been good 60, 70,000 people there. It's like the biggest ever gig in Wales. And, you know, when he's singing like Thinking Out Loud and people are just kind of bobbing like side to side, I just thought, this isn't really that great. But I enjoyed it.
Yeah, because you can command a crowd that big, but if sometimes the genre or the individual songs don't fit it.
And then I think in a couple of weeks' time, the Stereophonics are playing there with Tom Jones as their support. I thought, oh, that might be really, really good. So I might see if I can get a cheap ticket off like Facebook Marketplace or something. I think Catfish and the Bottlemen were playing as well. But yeah, the queues are mental. 30 quid a T-shirt, things like that. I just think he doesn't need that money anymore. Do you know what I mean?
No.
But I don't know if he's getting money for that. But yeah, he didn't play any new stuff and it was all big singles. And he spent a lot of time kind of like, I wrote this song when I was 7, and telling us
everything. Were they, is it a tour or was it just some sort of like one-off summer gigs that people do?
No, it was a tour. It's going like Europe-wide, basically. So these were 3 Cardiff shows, which basically shut down the whole of Wales traffic in and out of Bristol and stuff because the Killers were playing the same night and stuff. Trains are really, really good. And then when you come out of the Principality, it's right next to the station and basically you joined a queue to where you were going. So we were off towards Gloucester. So we got in this queue, and when the train arrived, they let a certain amount of people onto the train and then just left you waiting outside, not all of you on the platform at the same time. It worked really, really well. I said, you would get that in London. It'd just be dog eat dog. There's a train station, get home. But no, really, really good. And the day before, we went to see Derren Brown at the Bristol Hippodrome.
Oh.
Which absolutely melted my mind of like how good it was. But they do say don't put any spoilers, but I think I'll probably say a couple because why not? But he did this thing with this guy where he hypnotized him, put his hand over a pack of cards, which only had one card in it, and then said, right, I'm going to take that from your underneath your hand and put it in the box. But he'd hypnotized the guy for him to do it, basically. So he did it himself and then didn't realize. And then, ha ha ha, the joke was on him. And then he goes, well, put the box on like a winch and put it in the air so he couldn't get to it. And then got a guy underneath it guarding it. And then the lights flashed a bit and he counted to five. And I thought I only heard two numbers. And then in the amount of time, I only heard 2 seconds, him call out three and four. And then the box was swinging. And then he was sitting back down and the card was in the box. And then he went, yeah, I hypnotized all of you to forget the 5 seconds. So he hypnotized the entire crowd to forget that time. And I was like, oh, I'm fully involved there because I know that happened, kind of thing. So yeah. Only in my head, only 2 seconds elapsed. But he got out of his chair, moved another chair underneath the winch, got up the chair, put the card in the box, got back down and went back to his seat and sat again with his hand over it. I thought, why didn't he just do that at the start and then sit there for an hour and a half and then just go, right, you're going to wake up in a minute and
yeah,
you're going to tase everyone, you've had a really good time. Yeah, but yeah, he is absolutely outstanding. Give me more money. Don't talk about this on your podcast. Yeah, it was absolutely unbelievable. I loved it. But then there's bits of me that thinks, does he want me to say that?
Yeah.
And then I went to Milan last week, which was cool. It was a surprise, like 40th birthday present from my wife. And then
the full on didn't even know you were going abroad surprise.
No, but then there were some really stupid things that I thought, why did she make me do a COVID test? Why did she get me to get a COVID passport? But I thought, we're going to this, like, there's an otter sanctuary. I love otters. Otter sanctuary in Plymouth. And I thought, we'll be going there. And then when she put the directions on the car, I was kind of trying to stop myself from seeing it because I wanted it to be a surprise kind of thing. Because she worked so hard to do it. So I had literally no idea. And then she said, we listened to Steve Wright on Radio 2. And I can't stand Steve Wright. He talks over everything. I was going, like, can we just turn this off? I can't stand him. But Zoe had emailed him to tell me that we were going, where we were going. So we listened to the entirety of the Steve Wright show and he didn't mention it as us at all. And then Zoe we rolled up at Gatwick and Zoe went, yeah, we're going to Lake Como. And it was wonderful. And then we met three other couples who we're friends with out there as well. So they flew out as well. And we had like a day on the line.
That would have been a shoo-in for him to mention something like that.
Yeah, I thought so too. But no, yeah. He's more concerned about
stuff that he does say.
He's more concerned about serious jocking with no G than he is about if my holiday.
Maybe should have framed it as a fun fact.
Yeah, more like a QI elf or something. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we had 4 or 5 days in Italy and back and come. I've got a terrible cold. I don't know if you can tell. So back to work this Monday. Yeah, everything's great. I don't think I've ever been happier. There you go.
No sort of airport woes or anything?
Yeah. On the way out, we were delayed 3 hours. And when we got on, it was Wizz Air we went with. We got a free can of Coke and free snack. But Zoe was in row 10 and I was in row 32. And then there was a problem at the front of the plane. And then it was like, is there a doctor on board? Is there any doctors on board? And a guy at the front was having problems breathing. But I was in row 32 and couldn't see that. And I'd also just received my Pringles and my can of Coke. So I was just kind of slowly eating Pringles, looking over the top like, well, that ain't Zoe. But yeah, and then we landed.
Could have had Pringles.
Yeah, exactly. And then we got to Milan in like an hour, like because we landed on the tarmac, ambulance waiting kind of thing. So yeah, I hope the guy was okay, but he didn't look great. Yeah, had problems.
I've heard a couple recently, though, a couple of accounts of, like, with what's going on with everything being late anyway, the addition of poorly people on planes as well. And I'm going to go into conspiracy mode. They're plants.
Right.
Because people are less likely to complain if they see, like, human and, like, an individual suffering. So I reckon they're
actors. Oh, okay. Well, this
so that they can excuse the fact that everything's late. And then people won't go, fucking hell, get him off. I don't care what's wrong with him.
Well, this guy was a hell of an actor.
Yeah.
How's family? How's Dolly? How's Emma, all right?
Yeah, good. Dolly chicken pox, have we done one of these since that?
I don't think so, no.
Yeah, she had that a few weeks ago. Like, a medium dose, I reckon. Not as bad as some, but worse than others. Yeah, but other than that, they're all right.
Excellent.
We had a good weekend. That Liam Gallagher thing kind of was at a good time, you know, because sometimes if you have to take you away on a sort of Saturday overnight, it kind of kills the weekend. So we'd already had a Thursday, Friday, and then so
yeah, lovely stuff.
Me disappearing wasn't the end of the world.
Yeah,
Emma's off on a hen weekend this weekend coming, so it's just me and Dolly.
What does the hen weekend? Where is that?
UK, big house, big.
Oh, cool.
Country house thing.
Yeah, lovely.
Yeah,
and plans for Dolly while she's away. Mark related things. She's going to get right into basketball and vintage clothing.
Usually I just kind of see how the closer you get to the weekend and see if the weather's looking good. Because if good weather, I don't really feel the need to make too many plans because I'd just prefer to be outside. So
yeah, you made a really good point with that. Like during lockdown, like you don't need to spend loads of money on like soft play activities and stuff because you can have as much fun down a park.
Yeah, if you go to the park with her and then you play like hide and seek for a bit and like off ground, what's not off ground it, lava. There's a couple of decent parks near us. One of them's got like a little Lido paddling pool next to it as well. So you can go there and do more than one thing. So you can have an hour in the park and then have lunch and then have an hour in the little paddling pool. And then, and that's like 5 minutes away. So it's fine.
We get on with what we're talking about. we'd be having a longer catch up. I don't know why. It only lasted 40 minutes.
when there's that a lot to say, it's it could be hours, couldn't it? But I suppose
So we are talking about classic gags, we said.
Yes.
I don't know, I think we both had different feelings on this because we picked four jokes to each, and I kind of went for classic comedians and looked for their best jokes, and you kind of went for gags of like
because I could tell by yours straight away that yours were more classic in the terms of who it was telling them.
Yeah.
Were more sort of icons of that kind of thing.
Mm.
Mine were, I suppose, when I first thought of doing this, it was just that we'd done stand-up comedy, which is quite often looking into something that might last 5 minutes and have like narratives and all that sort of stuff. So it was just more of your classic joke, you know, beginning, middle and end, maybe, you know, minute long or
maybe not
or
a minute.
Mine weren't by classic gag tellers, but they are just your classic joke. Mm. That what is it supposed to make you think something's going one way and then it goes.
Yeah. So this is season two. I forgot to do all this bit. Episode 15, our 49th episode. And we have 2.7K listeners, which is mental. And even last week, since the 26th of May. Okay, I think that was our last one we put out. Maybe 12th of May was the last one we did, I think.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah.
We have had like over 200 plays of like podcasts, people just listening.
Various,
going back over old things. So I can't look at the analytics too much on my phone, but it's on the 12th of May, we had 83 players. Most of them of that are like latest episode, but then people have gone back through others. And new listeners, people have got in contact with us. Rob Pilot, thank you very much for your suggestions on what we could do, but most of it was like Welsh singing. And Christopher Chalk, who was listening to us on the plane home, he was saying the other day, and chuckled along and was impressed with your comedy, Mark. So well done, you have a fan at last. these are two guys I'm doing my longest day golf challenge with. If you go onto the Macmillan website, look up Longest Day Golf Challenge, you can donate there. We are past £2,300 now. Outstanding and astounding. And I'm just absolutely overwhelmed by everyone's kindness with that. And thank you so much for donating. And please continue to do so. Right, I think that's all the bump dump. No new reviews. 2,700 people listen to us to talk about the Lido in Reading. Brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, that's probably not the most obscure thing either. I think your description is still the best of the Sean Locke episode that we spoke about what Dolly has for her packed lunch.
Yeah. yeah, I feel like we're getting to a level now where we probably should start taking notes again. Doing this properly. But I keep getting emails about patroning the podcast and stuff. And I just think, no, I don't want to. How do you feel? I like money, don't get me wrong. But I feel like I don't want to meet you for money. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't think... I'm not sure. I reckon that 2,700 might start to slow down as well.
Yeah. I'd basically be charging my parents to listen so my mum can complain about my swearing. Yeah, sorry, Sandra. But we do have some real loyal listeners, and it is really kind of everyone to listen. I really do appreciate it. And like JD, who I play golf with, you know, on the last one I was saying about Adam, my mate Adam, not listening. And me testing him last week, like saying he's an idiot. And so I spent the week with him in Milan, not even an inkling of a mention. So, yeah, I will continue bad mouthing Adam this week, you four-eyed fuck. I hope no one contacts him in terms of that. I love him dearly, don't get me wrong. He was the guy that married us. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. Wonderful bloke. Incredible human being. Four-eyed fuck. Right. I splashed out this week, mate. I bought a hot tub.
Oh, right.
Yeah. Secondhand. Always worry about a secondhand hot tub. But I got it up to temperature today, and I did a load of work in the garden so I could warrant getting in it. So I didn't want Zoe to come home from work and it'd just be me in the hot tub kind of thing. So I started doing the back on the fencing job, made a compost heap. Because do you have to pay for your green bin? Have you got a green bin? This is the content they want. Garden waste.
Well, no, but funnily enough, I got halfway through texting you last week about garden waste related thing that I thought would make you laugh.
All right, go on. So, yeah, only halfway through, yeah.
I walked in the house on Thursday morning last week or the week before.
Okay.
After the bins have been collected, right. They get collected Thursday morning. So I brought the empty bags and bins back up to the house and walked in. As I walked in, I went, 8-1. And Emma was like, what do you mean 8-1? And I said, well, do you remember that first time when I tried to put a bag of grass cuttings out and the bin men refused to take it? I said, 8 times since I've concealed it in and around other bins. Every time.
Yeah. It's stupid, isn't it? Some of the stuff. Like we had a pane of glass from our greenhouse that broke and they wouldn't take it. But when I smashed it up into bits and put it in a coffee jar, happy to take that away. But then I think it's like, I don't know, 40 quid a year or something. And I thought, why do we need to pay that when we've got so much like space in the garden? So I've made a compost bin out of pallets, basically, to save us 40 quid a year. I think I spent that on screws, but I'm very happy with that saving. So when I bought my hot tub, which was under £100, it came with the chemicals and a mat underneath and a cover, and I was well happy with it. So when you visit...
is it inflatable?
Yeah, one of those lazy spa things. A Cancun. Yeah, and it's slightly warped. But yeah, very happy to have
the hot tub.
But yeah, I say to Zoe, like, if someone said to me when I was 17 that when you are turning 40, you will own 2 houses, have a hot tub, a sports car, and a wife, I'd be like, yeah, go on then. I'll take that. Things could go a lot worse. So yeah, very happy.
Yeah.
I'll tell you the Joseph Heller quote, which I'm going to live my life by now.
No, go on.
So Joseph Heller, writer of Catch 22, was at this party with like a multi-millionaire's party. And then someone says to Joseph Heller, like, this guy earned more last week than you have in your entire life and writing that in critically acclaimed book. And he goes, yeah, Joseph Heller said, yeah, but I have one thing that he will never have, and that is enough. And I thought, I'm going to start living my life that way because I'm always trying to like for something more, annoyed about my rate of pay, annoyed that I'm not getting what I deserve and stuff. I just think, well, I've actually got enough. I've got enough to go on holiday. I'm happy. And I look around and there's people in the world who ain't. And I think, yeah, I've got enough. I can settle, can't start settling now. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, I think when you said a minute ago, like the thing I always sort of use is that if someone has told me when I was younger,
yeah,
is having been to watch NBA basketball games in America. Like when I was sort of 13, 14, if someone said, oh, you'll be able to go and watch the New York Knicks and the Chicago Bulls, and I would have just like snatched their hand off. I wouldn't have cared. Like, it doesn't feel like a big thing, but like at the time I was like, I would have just been thinking there's no way I can ever be there watching that. And then you're like, oh yeah, I can actually.
Have you ever thought about a bucket list? I know you're not the type of person to write it down, but is there things in your mind that you want to do, you want to achieve?
I've never pre-planned one, but then once I'd committed to the ticket for like Dave Chappelle and knew I was going, this is a bucket list thing.
Yeah.
But I've never like proactively made one. I'd like to go to, you know, the LA Coliseum.
All right.
That sports. Yeah. I'd like to, I don't know. There's something about that place that I like. I wouldn't mind to go and watch something there. But yeah, no, not a classic long list. I'd struggle. I'd sort of say no. And then over the course of a few weeks, things might pop into my head that I always wanted to do.
I thought with turning 40, I would put one together on my notes on my phone, and then I kind of add to it and take it off if, you know, need be. So it's an evolving document rather than it is. So I think if you tick everything off, what do you do? Just kill yourself. Not be that dark about it. So yeah, get a hole in one. That is unachievable. And if it ever happens, you know, well done me.
On a proper 18-hole golf course.
Yeah, not Tiger Woods on the Mega Drive. That doesn't count.
What about on a pitch and putt? Have you ever got one of them?
No, I haven't played any pitch and putt in years. I played crazy golf out in Milan, actually. I didn't even get a hole in one on there.
You know, I was playing that Panzanger pitch and putt with Neil once, and he got a hole in one on the final hole.
Wow. Yeah, good work.
We were both stoned. But it definitely happened.
Prove it. Must have been a Monday. You're both not at work. No, I've seen two in my life at Monmouth Golf Club. And one I actually saw go in the hole. The other one is like a blind green. And then we got to the hole. It was in it and it was amazing. Yeah. Well done, Bob.
Donald Trump.
Yeah. No, but I walked with him to the green. So it's, you know, he actually like broke the hole the way it must have when it went in. Oh, yeah, right. So fair play to him. Get a holy one. Get Paul McCartney's autograph, because I look online all the time at Paul McCartney's autograph and it's like thousands and thousands of pounds. So I've tried to find a way. And then I read online the other day that he doesn't give them out anymore. Like, he doesn't stop and do them. He'd rather meet people. God, that's such a wanky thing to say. If someone put a bit of paper in my front of me, no matter what I was doing, say, can you sign that? I'd sign it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I wonder what if he's got a reason or if he's just said no.
I think he's just fed up of doing it. I suppose he's been famous since 1954, hasn't he?
I can sympathise with that sort of thing, though, because I, you know, like, even if you just go to a very mediocre, low level sort of gathering, if you have to, if you end up like an hour in, like the third time someone has sort of said, oh, so how's it going? How's work? You're just like, oh God, not again. Yeah. So maybe it would wear on you after a while doing the same thing. You just write different stuff.
Yeah, just draw pictures, you know, just put John Lennon. right, I'll just, like, so this one is probably not achievable. Get an OBE. I'm working very hard towards that. And I think...
Partners, he must have one.
Yeah, maybe he won't sign it. Yeah, and then some are quite achievable. Let off a firework. Never done that.
Banger. You must have let off a banger, a Johnny Vaughan banger.
No, never let off a Johnny Vaughan banger. Never. I've had a sparkler. Never let off a firework. You ever done that? You never let
only bangers. The bangers from school trips to France. Those ones. Like little dynamite.
I want to do a proper one that annoys people.
Yeah,
that kind of like Lord of the Rings kind of side. Rescue a dog, but then, you know, probably after the cats are gone. Be a best man. I've never been a best man. You've been a best man.
No, I haven't. No,
I'd really like to do that. Have a line in a movie, which is maybe more achievable now. My sister's married a film director. Hello, Ryan.
Yeah.
Not that you listen to these either.
Well, you must have listened to one.
You two-eyed fuck. And then I've added this one the other day. Go to Eurovision. I'd love to go to Eurovision. Bloody love it. I'm reckoning you're not a fan.
Nah, I can't remember the last time I would have like known anything more other than the fact that it's happening this weekend. Like, yeah. Who was on it, how they did, what their name was. Nah.
I do like a bit of Eurovision. I enjoyed this year's one as well, but I was at work, so it was nice to have it on. And then me and Zoe put in the flags and our ratings out of 10 for them. Yeah, I put a bit of money on Ukraine because I thought it was just like given.
Mm-hmm.
And then after the kind of points had come in, they were fourth before the public vote. And I was like, oh, shit. I won a bit of money and I thought I'd just put all of it on Ukraine to win because they're obviously going to win. So, yeah, ended up winning a little bit of money. So that was good. Yeah, classic gags. Shall we, now we've spoke about my bucket list. If anyone out there wants to help me to achieve any of them, buy me a firework or accost Paul McCartney, that would be great.
Oh, I've got one.
Go on, mate.
Make Larry David laugh.
Oh, wow. Imagine that.
You know, when he occasionally, when he belly laughs, when he laughs loud. Yeah. It's not often, but like...
Yeah. There's a really good video of Bill Hader, and he said that Larry David loves his old-timey impressions.
Oh, yes.
James Mason ordering like a chowder.
Yeah.
There's no oyster crackers. And then like he said Larry David just like really found it funny. One thing I really liked, okay, today. Have you seen these Sky Sports Premier League awards?
The kind of everybody gets one awards.
Yeah, so break in. Tottenham have won, been awarded the Premier League's Oracle Most Improbable Comeback Award for their late heroics against Leicester back in January. And then a lovely picture of Steven Bergwijn with a little stupid pink trophy. Why are they doing that?
Money, I would have thought.
Yeah, of course. Why am I so stupid? Yeah, and then someone...
Or to just generate football debate. Banter, social media.
Yeah, I mean, very much enjoyed Gary Lineker's tweets, but I don't really read them, and I just go straight to the comments.
Yeah.
Fantastic. I don't know how he copes with it. Do you reckon he reads any of it?
No.
Can't do. I think he'd be underground if he did. You know? have you seen, Michael Owen's daughter's gone into Love Island.
Yeah.
And they're putting a petition together for that 13-year-old in that video to go in as well. Like the ultimate. Yeah. Well done, he's 13, that kid.
Yeah.
They said it would be the ultimate payback.
I think I might sign that.
Right, cool. So, classic gags. Shall we get on with my first one? I don't think this is actually a particularly good joke, but like I said, the joke teller. One thing, right, I found about going back through old jokes is that majority of the ones I looked at, I don't know if it was my algorithms, with like 98% racist, homophobic, or sexist.
Yeah, yeah.
Terrible, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I listened to a few Mike Reed ones, and I was like, I'm not playing these.
Yeah, because you mentioned a Jeffro one.
Yeah.
So, but I, you've done well to watch Jeffro one that you could include.
Yeah, that was the thing. Look, in looking for that particular one, I saw others that I thought, oh, you know, these might be good, and I didn't even listen to them till the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of happened upon a Bernard Manning one. And I thought maybe there's like maybe one I could use and then talk about like racism in old comedy and stuff. But there was I think the only one we could have used was my wife said to me, can I use your dictaphone? I said, no, use your finger like everyone else does. and then he punched a Pakistani in the face. Yeah, because like Bernard Manning had shows at like the MGM in Las Vegas. Is that mad to think of? Like, it was fine and that's good. And then we want Bernard Manning over here to entertain our people.
I was cleaning up the attic last week with the wife. Filthy, dirty, covered in cobwebs. But she's good for the kids. And I found this old violin. This old violin. And this painting, all painted. So I took them to an expert, and he said to me, what you got there? He said, you got a Stradivarius and a Rembrandt. Unfortunately, Stradivarius was a terrible painter. And Rembrandt made rotten violins.
Tommy Cooper telling, well, by anyone's standard, pretty average joke, but I just love, wanted to talk about Tommy Cooper, really. So growing up, I think my parents would mention Tommy Cooper, and if he was on telly, I would enjoy the magic tricks he gets wrong and stuff like that.
Yeah. But,
joke telling, not a massive fan. What are your feelings on Tommy Cooper?
Yeah, I think I would have only really seen him in fits and starts when I was younger, and would have just like, yeah, it would have been the magic that would have drawn me in, because I just don't think I would have got it, really. The comedy element, but I just liked watching someone get stuff wrong.
But he was so famously funny that almost his life was unlivable, if that makes any kind of sense. So I think Danny Baker tells a story in his book where Tommy Cooper had a bad back, and he went into the LWT, like, and Danny Baker was one of the kind of runners or something. And he said, I've got an awfully bad back. I'm not going to do the voice. I'm not going to do it. Yeah, you're okay. I sounded like the dog that says sausages. right. Okay. So he said, like, oh, I've got a bad back at the moment. And people were like wetting themselves laughing. And Danny Baker was kind of like, poor bloke. Yeah. And like he said, he had a minute with Danny Baker, and he just went, oh, seriously, I've got a really bad back. But they're expecting a set up to a joke or something, or him to, you know, like do a forward roll like Gene Wilder at the beginning of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. So yeah, and then it said, like, I watched a documentary about Tommy Cooper, and it said how he just tried to keep away from everyone because of that. And I thought, you know, like with Maradona, there's so many people wanted to hang around him just to touch his hair kind of thing. Like, it's almost like a curse to be that well-renowned and that funny, isn't it?
Yeah. I'm surprised he's not on TV more now.
Yeah.
Still. I wouldn't know where it would be. It would probably be on at Christmas. It's common to see Morecambe and Wise on the TV still. But I'm not aware in recent years of seeing any Tommy Cooper like on the telly.
No, other than like a retrospective of his actual life or...
Yeah.
You don't get old Tommy Cooper shows on, maybe on like Channel 5, top 10 best comedians who wear fezzes.
Is there a chance that there's bits in it that people might just not want to take a risk on anymore, that you wouldn't have thought of at the time or wouldn't think of even looking back, but people might just be like, oh no, you know, super sensitive people now might not like, obviously not that just then, but maybe there is stuff in it that just you wouldn't remember being troublesome, but it might be.
He made a lot of jokes about his kind of own wife, didn't he? But I think with any, you'd hardly see any old comedians, like, just because what we said earlier, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, there's episodes of Only Fools and Horses that can't be played now because of like certain words that have been used in it and stuff. So well, getting a comedian from the 60s, you're asking for trouble, aren't you, really?
You don't even have to go back that far. I watched quite a fair bit of Scrubs recently. And there's bits in that I'm thinking, nah, that was like early noughties. So that was like 20 years ago, the early series of that. And I'm thinking, well, that wouldn't be on now. I was listening to Rewatchables podcast this week, and they spoke about like Knocked Up, and they just said there's a whole run of those kind of films in that, those not rom-coms, like com-roms, you know, primarily a comedy, but with a theme. And they just said there's not many of them would get made anymore. And they were only, they're only sort of 50, 20 years old.
Yeah, so I think it's a shame that... Have you seen Ricky Gervais's Supernature yet?
No, I've seen the news coverage and everything, and everything's come off the back of it.
He almost explains comedy at the moment perfectly, and then does his own things on it. I won't ruin any of it for you because it is so good. But yeah, it's difficult to have any comedy on, like we always talk about, because you have that list of topics that you have to talk about now, and you don't want to. There's a kind of, just because you're offended doesn't mean you're right. It doesn't work. He talks about like Kevin Hart with those tweets, and then he deleted those tweets and apologized. And then 20 years later, someone dug up those tweets and they told him to apologize again. And he was kind of, well, no, because I've apologized already. So my saying sorry, does that not mean anything? So yeah, I think I'm just so worried. I've played golf with Bomber, and I had to stand on the back of his buggy to get back because his shotgun starts, so he's miles away from where he started anyway. So he told me this joke from Tommy Cooper, where Tommy Cooper had his wife on the back of a motorbike. Have you heard this? And she's like, all the time, nag, 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 nag. And then the police caught up to Tommy Cooper and said, do you realise your wife fell off about 3 miles ago? And he goes, oh, thank God for that. I thought I went deaf. And so Bomber inspired me to look up Tommy Cooper, but I don't think you could probably tell those jokes about your wife now.
Maybe not, because no, it would be along the sort of, domestic violence route. It'd be down in that lane, not as serious, obviously, but it would.
Yeah.
You mentioned Gary Lineker a little while ago, didn't you? He got a load of grief on Twitter this week because
the Amber Heard thing.
Yeah, he said Johnny Depp wins in court and is granted Heard immunity, and people are like, "You're making light of domestic violence."
Yeah.
He's not. He's just telling shit jokes like he always does.
like we've said before, I'm just nervous of where comedy's going, and it's only, all I can see is downhill. But people like Bo Burnham and James Acaster, you know, they're coming out and they're being clever and funny and just avoiding those categories well. I mean, James Acaster did 20 minutes on getting a free banana from Pret a Manger. You know, just... I'm looking forward to comedy in 50 years time, but I'll also be dead, so
I enjoy the Acasters and the new people like that. But what I don't like is when they then have a go at Ricky Gervais,
because
they don't need to be all overly sort of self-righteous, because they're doing what they do, and they're clever in what they do to avoid it. Talk about things like that, but the minute they have a go at someone else for doing something like that, I
can't understand it either, because they also know how comedy works. So Ricky Gervais was, I think, James Acaster was saying about Ricky Gervais was having a go at trans people, but Ricky Gervais wasn't having a go at trans people. He was taking the mickey out of Caitlyn Jenner hitting someone in a car. You know, and he's going, I tell you, people who have had it easy for too long is the trans community. Like James Acaster's making a joke about that. So it's stupid, isn't it?
Yeah, I know what you mean, though. Yeah, in a roundabout way, by talking about Ricky Gervais's take on it, he is also doing comedy about that subject just through someone else.
Yeah, and just it's all swinging around about.
He's profiting from it, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think nothing should be off limits. I think you should be able to just freedom of speech, joke about whatever you want to. There's some really good bits in the Ricky Gervais stand-up where someone's like, who was offended by Ricky Gervais, tweeted him, "You're about as funny as a fart at a baby's funeral," or something like that. And then Ricky Gervais goes, "Oh, I thought he was really going to go for the juggler and say something like Miranda." But yeah, and it carries on from there. I don't want to ruin it because it's so good.
It's like that terrible joke, which I'm sure you must have been told, about the couple who adopt a German baby. You know it, yes, don't you? You must know it.
Is there only one joke that involves a German baby?
It doesn't speak.
It doesn't speak
at all.
The
one where he doesn't speak.
He never speaks.
Yeah. Until he's about five.
Yeah. Five.
And they go, they're taken to be tested.
Because they think, is he stupid? Is he deaf and dumb?
Everything functioning normally, fine. Yeah. And then one day, he has some apple strudel.
Yeah.
And he says,
this apple strudel is a bit tepid.
And they say, Wolfgang.
You've never spoken before. After all these years, now you finally speak. Why haven't you spoken before? And he says,
up until now, everything had been satisfactory.
So yeah. Why have you chosen that one as a classic gag? You have 5 minutes, 54 seconds.
I remember it, I suppose it was unexpected because that show is not necessarily a show where there'll be jokes, is it? It's
no.
Observations and funny comments, like linking off the back of a fact and that. So when they did that, I'd never heard it before. I found it funny. I really like Henning Vane. I like Alan Davis. Like, I like all the people on there.
Yeah.
I like the way they kind of stumble their way in to that sort of doing it.
Yeah.
By the end, they're doing it really well, where they just kind of assumed the roles of playing the two different parts of it. Mm. At the start, they're like tripping over each other, aren't they?
Mm. Alan Davis is desperate to tell it, and yes. Henning Vane's desperate to get involved. It's really, they do it really well. And then, like, Wolfgang, like,
yeah,
you know, him doing, Henning Vane doing the kid's voice is perfect, isn't it?
Yes. And I have to confess, we were just talking about things that are maybe like not what they used to be in that. I enjoy sort of stereotype humour. I find it funny. You know, we were talking about Chris Rock a few weeks ago, and that when Chris Rock talks about things in sort of popular black culture, and then the camera goes to the crowd, and there you could, like, people are doing that laugh, like, yes, I'm laughing because I know exactly what he means. So when Henning Vane sort of sends himself up, and he's really good at sending up Germans, but as well as having a go at Brits as well. Remember, I went to watch Henning Vane in Edinburgh.
Right.
Really, really nice in, like, you know, like the caves in Edinburgh, like in those kind of, and he did a bit when he was talking about how untidy and messy England is. And he said, you do realise all these pipes and wires and cables and things that all hang off the outside of your building, you do know that they can put that inside, don't you? Like, in the walls.
Yeah, very good point.
But that was an example of what we were saying at the start. Like, that's not a classic gag in the kind of Tommy Cooper sense, but it is just a joke. You know, it's just like, boom, boom, punchline.
Yeah, like you say, beginning, middle, end. And like, I think I try to avoid like Englishman, Irishman, Scottishman jokes.
Yeah.
I think I remember being at school, it's kind of those jokes. And it was like a lot of like, how'd you get I can't even say it. How do you get a person who is from Pakistan, like, you know, those kind of, but not using the Pakistan word. And like loads and loads of those jokes. And we must have got those jokes from somewhere. Like, I don't want to talk about it too much. Because I think if you dig up your past too much, you could end up in loads of trouble. And, you know, if you're just an innocent kid repeating a joke that you've heard in the pub where your dad was, it's not really that fair, is it?
Yeah, I suppose at least we've got the benefit of people not being able to go through and find tweets of ours from when we were younger. They have to maybe go into a rubbish tip and find the school desks that we used to sit at.
I'm just glad that I was like missed the kind of the camera phone era of like school. I think at the age of 18, there wouldn't have been a girl in the sixth form that hadn't seen my penis on a phone. either in a jokey way or I'm glad I missed all that, because there would have been a lot in the ether.
it's changed the way that youngsters go out though now, hasn't it? Because people just don't, some do, but there's nowhere near as much emphasis now on going out to your sort of Magaluf, get as wrecked as you can, because people are just worried that they're going to wake up the next day and see themselves on the internet. So people don't drink as much, people go to kind of posy, posh, nice places because they want to be seen.
Yeah,
it's just completely different.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I think we're in the sweet spot.
Yeah, a lot of kids don't drink. Look, kids, but you know what I mean, like youngsters nowadays. Like I remember going out with my under 23 football team, and the majority of them drove, and they were going to the gym the next day, kind of thing. You know, it's all about looking good online rather than, you know, having a good time. It's just, it makes me sad. But like, I think we may have been the last era to do that.
Just probably carried on doing it a little bit too long.
Yeah, maybe we were in kind of like a sweet spot of going out and get messed up and no one filming us. But then I think when filming came in, we used it in a positive way of doing funny things and kind of remember, oh, remember we did that. Oh, you got that on video kind of thing. But now, yeah, people almost purposely winding people up to get reactions out of them to put it on their phones. It's just sad. And then also sad that I watch a lot of it. I don't mind a healthy a Karen video here and there. Yeah, nightmare. Right, a Henny Vane story. Well, I've got you. my sister, have I told you about this? It's absolutely brilliant. She was on the Well and Natural Times website and saw that Henning Vague was playing the Doctor's Tonic or the cottage in the town centre. So she
upstairs.
Yeah, so she went there and she said, with my mum, I think she went with, and said, can I have two tickets for Henning Vane, please? And they went, no, he's not playing here. And she went, oh, yeah, I saw it on the internet today. And they went, well, no, he's not playing here tonight. We know. And she went, oh, that's funny. So she went home and looked it up, and it was like a link to us, a link for that was 4 years old. She turned up to see Henning Vane 4 years later than he was actually playing. Yeah, brilliant. Angela did make that mistake, and I will never let her forget.
There's a really good bit, QI, very early, second series B, I think.
Right.
There's one of those clips that I looked for on YouTube for a while and then couldn't find it, and actually ended up just Googling it and then finding it on that Daily Motion.
Oh, okay.
And it was the whole episode, so I had to kind of skip through it. But I just had memories of this bit happening, and I knew that they were talking about basketball when this exchange happened. And bearing in mind how intelligent Stephen Fry is, Alan Davis was really good at like catching him when Alan Davis would play the fool. And occasionally Stephen Fry wouldn't realise that Alan Davis was like, genuinely, and they were talking about basketball, and Stephen Fry was talking about the origins of basketball was a peach basket.
Yeah, YMCA's.
They would throw it through, and Alan Davis said, "Like, but the peaches don't bounce." And Stephen Fry's going, "No, a peach basket up high." Doesn't acknowledge the fact that he's like doing it on purpose. And then Alan Davis said, what happens when you throw it through? Doesn't like peaches don't bounce? And Stephen Fry just looks at him and goes, yes, that's right. Like in a really condescending way, as if he's actually.
I remember JK Rowling have I told you the story before? If I have, stop me. But him doing the audiobooks for Harry Potter.
No, I don't think so.
J.K. Rowling first wrote Harry Potter, and Stephen Fry agreed to do the audiobook. And he goes, oh, this is quite good. Like, she goes, yeah, I've written three more. And he was like, oh, well, oh, good for you. And she found it really condescending. And then because she wanted it to be Stephen Fry to read the words exactly how they were. So every phrase had to be said because she wants kids to read along with it, basically, which is a really nice thing, really good idea. And then Stephen Fry said, I could say Harry, I could say pocketed, and I could say it, but I couldn't put it in a sentence. I couldn't say Harry pocketed it. He goes, I kept getting it wrong, pocketed it, like I kept adding another id. So I said to JK Rowling, could I just say Harry put it in his pocket? And she thought for a bit and then said, no. And apparently it was because of Stephen Fry being really condescending. And then if you go from book three onwards, in every book she wrote the sentence, Harry pocketed it, just to annoy Stephen Fry. There's a little compilation on YouTube of Stephen Fry saying, Harry pocketed it. Yeah, I like that story. Nice little cool little story.
So there's this guy. He's the world's greatest dad. He loves his kids and they love him. One day the circus comes to town. The world's greatest dad says, you know what? I'm gonna take my kids to the circus. They'd love that. So they go to the circus, they sit down, the lights go down, the horses come out, the jugglers come out, and the clowns come out. And one of the clowns says, can I have a volunteer from the audience? And the father says, you know what? The kids would love that. I'll be your volunteer. So he goes down to the center ring. Clown puts his arm around the father and says, excuse me, sir, are you a horse? And the father says, no, and I'm not a horse. And the clown says, are you a mule? And the father says, no, I'm not a mule. And the clown says, well, you must be a jackass. And the whole place just dies laughing. I mean, the children are in tears. The whole town is on its feet, pointing and laughing at the father. He's humiliated, and he vows, I'm going to get that clown. So the very next day, he goes to the local community college and enrolls in a course in cutdowns, insults, and witty retorts. He starts studying, earns his associate's degree, but he thinks, no, man, I'm just getting started. Another 2 years he studies, he earns his bachelor's degree in cutdowns, insults, and witty retorts. But he thinks, you know what? I'm not the best yet. So another 3 years he studies, earning his master's degree in cutdowns, insults, and witty retorts. I mean, the academic community is really starting to sit up and take notice of this guy. But he thinks, no, not yet. Another 2 years he studies day and night, earning his PhD in cutdowns, insults, and witty retorts. He's published a definitive thesis on the subject, and then he waits. One day, the circus comes back to town. So the world's greatest dad gets his kids, says, come on, we're going to the circus. And you know, by this time they're grown up, they have dates, they don't want to go. But the father's pretty adamant, no, we're going to the circus. So they go to the circus, and they sit down, and the lights go down, and the horses come out, and the jugglers come out, and the clowns come out. Lo and behold, that same clown is there. And that same clown says, can I have a volunteer from the audience? And the father says, you know what? I'll be your volunteer. So he goes down to the center ring. Clown puts his arm around the father and says, excuse me, sir, are you a horse? And the father says, no, I'm not a horse. And the clown says, are you a mule? And the father says, no, I'm not a mule. And the clown says, well, you must be a jackass. Whole place just dies laughing. Father waits for the laughter to die down and goes, hey, fuck you, clown. And that's my favorite joke in the world.
I think these are my, kind of my favorite type of joke, where it takes the setup is too long, and then the joke, the payoff is brilliant because you're expecting more. other than kind of getting the other person to say what you want, and then so
yeah,
it was Christmas Eve. I did this to you, I think. But I'm going to retell it. Someone did it to me, and then I just basically passed it on. The story of the booze run to France. My mum and dad were going to France, and they're quite hippie people, so they pick up a hitchhiker.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
So, yeah, I'd forgotten about this.
Yeah, so I'll retell it, and can you play along? Yeah. So if you can get someone to jump in and say, ask a question that you want them to ask, and then hit them with the punchline. So I'll do the setup, and then if anyone listening to this and hears this joke, you can use it and you can get a lot of enjoyment out of it when it works. It's like in America, they do kind of the, this isn't the joke, this is another one, where you say to someone, does it smell like up dog in here? Or did you just say up dog? And then the person says, what's up dog? And then you go, nothing, what's up with you? Crap. So it's kind of along the same lines. So my parents are quiet hippie-ish type people, and they were going to France to pick up a load of booze, and on the way they saw a hitchhiker, and they picked him up, and he sat in between my mum and dad, and he had this big rucksack, and the rucksack kept knocking into my mum, and they were trying to talk to him, and he was a bit rude, and my mum just said, so what's in the rucksack? And the hitchhiker said, what the fuck's it got to do with you? So my dad, being my dad, pulled over the car, got out, dragged the bloke out, threw him on the curb, and then just drove off with his rucksack. And then Mark says,
so what was in the rucksack?
What the fuck's he got to do with you? So that set up, then you play along. The other person always asks, if you could tell the story well enough to make them believe that it actually happened, is the hard bit, isn't it?
Yeah.
And what the fuck's he got to do with you? Doesn't work on WhatsApp. I've tried that on WhatsApp twice. Does not work.
I think the longer you make it, the longer you make the setup go, the more likely the person is.
Yeah.
The more you mention rucksack, the more you refer to rucksack.
Yeah. And adding minutia detail and stuff. Norm MacDonald does it a lot. Yeah. And adds something that doesn't need to be in there and things. It's an art, isn't it?
Yeah. Norm had this, like, he would turn these jokes that you had heard before, and you wouldn't realize till the punchline that you had heard it, because he'd convince you so much that it was something that happened to him.
Yeah.
he'd complete, like, the sort of king of, like, adding those irrelevant details.
Yeah,
but because just the way he talks was funny, you'd start laughing and then you'd forget, and then it was at the punchline, you'd go, oh, I've heard that joke before. But I had no idea that's what it was.
So we're doing this on Classic Gags, but at the Edinburgh Fringe, which you're a fan of and I'm a fan of, they do a joke of the year.
Okay. Yeah.
And I think some of these jokes are now in the mainstream and you've heard these jokes basically. So I'm going to test you, Mark, on the punchline of, I'm going to do the setup and you're going to see if you can work out the punchline, but you hopefully you've heard it. Okay. So hedgehogs. Have you heard that one? Why can't they just share the hedge? Okay. This is a Tim Vine one. I've just been on a once in a lifetime holiday.
Never again.
Yeah, I won't be doing that again. Nick Helm from 2011. I need a password that's 8 characters long, so I picked...
8 characters. Oh, I don't know. Is it something to do with something that's got 8 characters?
Yeah. So I picked Snow White and the Seven Dwarves.
All right, okay. I was going to say S Club 7 plus their manager.
Yeah, that works.
Simon Fuller.
Stuart Francis. You know who really gives kids a bad name?
Their parents.
Posh and Becks.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever seen, is it Spencer Jones?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I watched a full stand-up thing of his, and I laughed all the way through it. I thought he's absolutely brilliant.
Brilliant. I've not seen him for a while. He's done a sitcom, hasn't he, that's sort of, I think he did a pilot. He got at least one series, I think.
But
I remember, it was probably a couple of years ago that I saw him with his trousers pumping up and
the odd
stuff
thing,
like that.
I can't remember, he's got like a name for it, isn't he? Like the thing or something, yeah. But yeah, it's on it's on Amazon Prime, like Sessions kind of comedy, and there's one of him. It's called The Things We Leave Behind. It was really, really good. I do recommend watching it. It is so surreal that I think you need to be a fan of him to really get it.
Yeah,
his sitcom was called Mr. Winner.
Yes.
Or The Mind of Herbert Clunkerdunk.
I think it's The Winner.
Yeah, Mr. Winner. I haven't seen any of it, but I think I'll probably look into it now. And Upstart Crow and stuff. He does mention that in the stand-up. But yeah, I think it's either you've got to be surrealist or you've got to be talking about Costa Coffee now too. a comedian. Right, should we go with your last clip, mate? What do we start on?
which clip or what?
Oh,
subject.
Yeah, the joke, the clown joke. Because have you heard the joke, how to get a clown off a swing?
No.
You hit him in the face with an axe.
Right? Oh, there was a few like that years ago. I remember, yeah. What's something can't walk round corners, a baby with a javelin through its head.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah, something like that.
I get it, yeah.
Just like shock value. I do remember that now. After you said that,
why can he walk around a corner? I suppose babies can't really walk. I suppose a javelin for his head, would it be dead, or is the fact that he could still move with a javelin for his head?
It would certainly be an impediment, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't mind those jokes of like just the stupid punchline kind of thing. But yeah, if you had more than 3 or 4 in a row, you'd be like, okay, that'll do now, mate.
We had the second year of Sir Fred's. So the first year of Sir Fred's, we went on like the adventure, like PGL style holiday.
Yeah.
For a week. And then if you go back in the second year, because you've done the things before, they take you on a more advanced version. You actually go out and camp.
Yeah.
Out in the outdoors, and then you get up the next morning, go canoeing, and then you canoe downstream, and then you go climbing. It's good, really good few days.
This story doesn't end with a baby with a javelin for his head, does it?
No.
Okay.
But
carry on.
whatever they're called, the kind of course leaders, the people that would take you out and look after you. And when you get to the end of the day, and you'd have your sort of round the campfire dinner, and there was one of them, I think his name was Steve, who was kind of renowned for telling jokes.
Right.
And obviously we were young, and you know, when you're younger, you think adults are all 50. He was probably like 20 or something, you know, like a student on his holidays.
Summer holiday, yeah.
He told, I remember him telling a few of these really long jokes where you could make it go as long as you want, really, before you punchline. One of them was basically someone who went and got chased, you know, through the door, down the stairs, up the stairs, yeah. And goes, and each time adds something else. And then when the monster finally catches him, he just says, "You're it." And and I remember him telling it and thinking, "Oh yeah, that was quite clever. That was quite good." And because he was older, you're thinking, "Oh, I'm going to tell that."
Yeah,
I'm going to tell. And then you're like, "No." I
really enjoyed PGO as a staff member. Really enjoyed it. Because it was good booze up when the kids were in bed. And then you were just kind of away with workmates. You weren't really talking about work a lot of the time. It was good. And like, it was a really good way of, like, if you work with kids, to see them, oh, look, he is actually a real human being that owns trainers and jeans. You know, like, I don't live at the school in a tie. And you can put a bit of your personality out of them.
I'm on the Letterman show, and I've got another book, and it's jokes that I don't think should be in public.
Inappropriate, poor taste, offensive.
Yes. And the first thing is two guys in a bar. One guy drinks too much, throws up in his shirt.
Right.
What am I going to do now? My wife's going to, he says, don't worry about it. Tell her someone else got drunk, threw up in your shirt, and put $10 in your pocket to get it clean. I'm putting 10 in there right now.
Right.
He said, you're brilliant. He goes home, he says, I'm home. She starts screaming at him. He said, just a minute, it wasn't me. This guy at a bar got sick, threw up my shirt. And to prove it, he put $10 right in there to get it clean. She reaches in, she says, it's $20 here. He said, I know, he also shit my pants.
I love Jerry's reaction.
So
that is Bob Einstein on Comedians in Cars Getting Coffee with Jerry Seinfeld telling that brilliant joke.
Yeah.
Well, why'd you choose that one, mate?
I went through a run of listening to him just telling gags probably about a year ago in his Super Dave character, and then obviously just it became his thing, didn't it? He obviously did the famous joke on Curb.
Yeah, you'll see is in the sink. Yeah,
that was the one that I remembered laughing at the most, but then it's not always the one that crops up so much. I think even I'm not sure the title of that clip doesn't sort of make it clear that that's the one that he's telling.
No, it just says Bob Einstein, comedian, actor, best known for Curb Your Enthusiasm, Super Dave character, DEA.
Yeah, so I sort of had heard a lot of his jokes, like I say, about a year ago when I was listening to them, and I remembered that one, but then struggled to find it.
Yeah.
So when we decided we were doing this, I was like, right, that's going to be the sort of catalyst for me to sort of find that joke. And I found a longer clip that's about 10 minutes long, and that one was in there. And then right. I managed to find it just the short. The only, I mean, it's not the end of the world that it's bleeped.
No.
I think bleeps can sometimes be funny.
Yeah.
But I think bleeps are funniest when they go really overboard, when someone's obviously having a proper, like,
yeah,
they swearing rant, and there's just loads of bleep, bleep, bleep. You know, like in Happy Gilmore?
Yeah.
Yeah, like that.
And then you just hear monkey, beep, beep, beep. Yeah. Bing. Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah, that does mean they've properly gone off on one.
It's nice to see Jerry Seinfeld then, because a minute ago when you were talking about the PGL and you said about it's nice for kids to see that I've got jeans and trainers and I'm not just in a tie.
Yeah.
And I thought, if you're careful that you don't wear the jeans and trainers and keep the tie on, because if you did, you'd look like Jerry Seinfeld. Yeah.
Please subscribe to us at youtubereviewpodcast.blogspot.com or see us on Twitter at RockleRussell1.